Blog Talk Radio.
Hi. You have reached America Health Crisis through Blog Talk Radio. This is your host, Paulette Young, speaking. We have a great topic tonight that we're going to talk about. We have a great speaker that will be on shortly. It's going to be a lot of fun tonight. Okay. We're featuring Fathers and Family Coalition of America. It's a nonprofit, 501c3, established in 1996. Established in 1996, transitioned in 2010 as a national and international professional development and advocacy agency. Dr. James Rodriguez is the CEO and founder of this organization. Tonight, we're going to feature one of the speakers, whose name is Phyllis McNeil, who will be presenting a workshop in the upcoming 21st Fathers and Family Coalition of America National Conference schedule for February 24th through the 27th for 2020. Right now I have Phyllis McNeil on the line. I have someone from the 510. Can you identify yourself?
Yes, my name is Debbie Dorsell, and I am associated and affiliated with Phyllis McNeil's program called Straight Talk.
Oh, okay. Great, great.
And I'm calling in from
And I have
north.
Someone from the 323 area. Can you identify yourself? Okay. You don't have to. All right.
Yeah.
If you're calling
Hello.
In, you want to just
Hello.
Listen, that's fine, too. Hello? Yes. Okay. I have James Rodriguez on the line right now, so he's going to tell you a little bit about Fathers and Family Coalition of America. I just gave a brief introduction, and he's going to say a few things, too. Okay, go ahead, James.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. I hope that everyone's doing well, and since you're going to have a discussion about the impact of interfaith, I pray that everyone is well. I know that your featured speaker today is a good colleague of mine. In fact, someone I would call a sister, Ms. Phyllis McNeil, a tremendous asset as a social worker and as a professional in criminal justice. But I want to kind of go a little bit why Phyllis and others come to our conference every year, and now it's our 21st annual conference. And there's an infusion, not of an ecumenical approach, but an interfaith approach. In 1996, when I wrote a grant that was funded for $1 million statewide, a young man came to my office. He had what I call an A-frame T-shirt, and they call them wife beater T-shirts, sagging pants, deep attitude, and said that we didn't get it, that us as professionals and the caseworkers, all we cared about was helping him get a job or go back to school. And he made more money selling heroin than he could ever make at Burger King, to which I asked him to leave my office because of his aggression, not because I was intimidated, and I told him to pull up his pants and put on another shirt if he was going to come in my office. He did. But he said something to me, and it kind of triggered another event right after, and he said, "You guys don't understand what's going on inside of me, my emotions. Our emotions is where our soul resides and the spirit of man. And many practitioners are great at telling people what they need to do or teaching them what they need to do, but not feeling their journey in life, the adversity that some of them are in right now, or some of them have recently overcome." And then in less than a month, one of my caseworkers, I had 95 staff underneath me, and they were different levels, family service workers. She called me up because she couldn't do a report on a child molestation of a 4-year-old girl. And the policy for our organization was immediate termination because you had to make a report within 24 hours. But something inside of me, and let's just call it my spirit, drove 140 miles to that office location, and I sat with her on a curb. And what the young man said met her at that curb on the side of concrete, where she said she just couldn't do it. And it turned out to me, and it hit me, she had been molested as a little girl. And all of a sudden, this was triggering her. Because the molestation was not the daughter, dad, it was mom's new boyfriend. And it just so happens that right now in America, the majority of children will in foster care come from a single parent home, and the majority of abuse is not committed by the father. And the majority of children will be in foster care systems right now. The average age is 8.5 years old for 2 to 3 years. And instead of them taking this very important time in their life to develop, and they're going from house to house, group home to group home, foster care, kinship, maybe back at home, then back into foster care. And then they go back in this vicious cycle. And about 10% will never go back home. And about 60% will become a young parent. And of those kids who do leave foster care system, about 90% will be incarcerated. And 52% of young boys who are incarcerated now are also fathers. And 92% of all incarcerated individuals in America are parents. So that means little kids in foster care systems and systems of care, and maybe in juvenile correction systems or where they've been adjudicated, and definitely as adults, all have something in common. They were somewhere along the line hit with a lot of adversity. But maybe no one ever took a chance to help them get to our conference theme, the next level. And so we haven't improved. In fact, we're getting worse as a country. We had dropped in the number of children in foster care, and now we're increasing the last 3 years. And you can do the math, and you can understand the last 3 years there hasn't been a lot of investment into services for children and families. And that's just the reality. In fact, there's been reduction in services, but still the need is there. And so at our national conference, we've always had the role of interfaith. From our very first time, the president of 100 Black Men of Phoenix came to me, and he said, his name was Mr. Leonard Knight, that we have an important opportunity to meet that young boy, young father, wearing his A-frame T-shirt, baggy pants, attitude from you know where, and help him find his soul, and not just say, here's your GED, here's some basic education and life skills, here's how to become a better parent, here's developmental stages, when he himself has never been nurtured. And so when Phyllis McNeil put in for this workshop, it's a continuum of what Leonard Knight had asked for at our very first annual conference, and every year we've done that. And every year we seem to have more and more presenters who come to speak. And at our conference, February 24th through the 27th, we have some tremendous speakers who are going to teach on adverse childhood experiences, children in the migrant systems right now that are being abused and neglected and living in prisons, like they're in a humane society or animal control center. No treated, no less, because they're sleeping on concrete, just like the animals are in animal control. But we have, like, my colleagues from the Bay Area of California, Northern Bay Area, coming to talk about that. Or we have colleagues from Minnesota coming to certify people in adverse childhood experiences, or another colleague from Sacramento who's going to do a curriculum on how to implement strategies to work with young parents in the early childhood programs, or families and schools together, or win-win parenting just for parent educators. Because a lot of our early childhood educators and our teachers go through the same process where they don't identify the needs of young children. And because most of these young children are living in homes of adversity, one of my colleagues, Dr. Carolyn Curtis, told me last week that of her recent programming with young children, 0 to 3rd grade in different program settings, 15% of them had what they called high adverse experiences reporting, that there's a scale of 1 to 10, and high is 4, and the national average is 15% will have 4. But in this inner city school area, their 15% is 1 in 7, which means it's almost 200 times more. And the difference is poverty and race and ethnicity. So we have an opportunity at our conference to have real dialogue and discussions of how to use some effective strategies that will look at what that young man needed. The curriculums are outstanding. The parent education is wonderful. But it's deeper than that. And after 1996, shortly thereafter, the White House committed to creating an interfaith consortium. And it was called the Interfaith Neighborhood Community. And I served on that White House panel underneath the first President Bush, and then transitioned into the first year of President Obama. But from the White House to across the street, everyone knows that there's a role of faith, the soul, the spirit of someone, to improve the conditions of others. And we have some tremendous, tremendous speakers like Phyllis. And so I wanted to share why it's important when you come to our conference and you get all these skills trainings, like the people I've already mentioned, or you may get to sit in on one of our roundtables by NEKC Foundation. You're going to hear from young boys and young girls right now in foster care system who are going to say, this is what we need. And it's going to be blowing people's minds that they think that they've got model programs and they don't. And so hopefully that's what we're going to end up getting, model programs. Or a young woman who I just finished reading her book, Carlotta Taylor. And in 26 different foster care and group homes. And I still see that there's some residue impact of her abuse from her childhood. Or Latasha C. Watts, who runs the Purple Project. But the common denomination between them and Dr. McFarland, who's going to do something called Building Kingdom Men, or even my friend Bishop Henry Hearns, who's going to do our evening session, Men to Men, that faith, whether it's Christianity denominations, Hindu, Buddhist, Muslim, Judaism, Sikh, priests, we've had them all come, play a vital role and a central role in community-based delivery of services, but we just don't talk about it because we think it's not something that we should talk about. And that's why I think that tonight when you hear Phyllis McNeil and her passion about how she wants to include faith-based discussions with practitioners is right online to what the former city manager for the city of Phoenix, Leonard Knight, told me, that we have an opportunity to talk about the soul of a young man, the soul of a young woman, and do it in a faith that's respective of all faiths. And that's why we call it interfaith versus ecumenical approaches. And I believe it's been successful, and we're going to continue to do so. So I just want to kind of shamelessly plug our conference in Los Angeles, but more importantly, to lift and honor the people before Phyllis and that are going to join Phyllis at our 21st Annual Families and Fathers Conference, because these professionals could just stay in their lane and just do criminal justice, child welfare, early childhood education, educators, but they've all examined what is right and what's wrong with the programming and the curriculums, and they see that there is a little gap, and that little gap is not that little. It is a Grand Canyon in the lives of many of our children and families. And so when we have so many millions of children being affected, maybe it's an opportunity for us to say, how can we include an interfaith approach in all that we do? And so I thank you, Ms. Young, for having Phyllis McNeil, the founder of Straight Talk program that's in Riverside, California County, but more importantly, she's made impact with people all over California and in the United States. And she's a strong woman, a humble woman. And if I ever had a street fight, not because she's ghetto or anything like that, maybe I might be a little bit more than her, but woman's, I think, a fifth or sixth degree black belt. So I know she could have my back, but she's also a great mentor for others. And she's funny as anything.
Oh, my God.
But she is a professional. She is a master's in social work. And she really is set apart. And the uniqueness about what sets her apart is that she doesn't do it for money. She does it for purpose and passion. And I've personally sat with the men that she's changed their lives and how much they respect her. I've heard her talk women off of the ledge, so to speak. And so it's an honor that we're going to have her come back to our conference in Los Angeles and learn and teach with others and share life's lessons. And she, like many of the other presenters, have gone through their own personal deep adversity and have not allowed that to affect them from telling their story. And so she has a story to tell that with her and others, I think we need to have Kleenex as our corporate sponsor for our conference. So, Ms. Young, I hope that this show really focuses on the rest on what she's going to bring to the table.
Yes. Thank you, James. Thank you very much. Well, Dr. James Rodriguez, he's the founder and CEO of Fathers and Family Coalition of America. Now we're going to hear from Phyllis McNeil. Phyllis, the first thing I want you to tell us about your background and what you do.
Okay, my name is Phyllis McNeil. I am the founder of the Straight Talk program. I founded the program in 1990. But before I get into that, let me tell you a little bit about myself. I was in the foster care system at a very young age. I got bounced around from foster home to foster home, and I was not put in any good foster homes. I knew there were some good foster homes out there in the community, but I was not placed at any. So I would run away and go back home. My mother was a single mother with three kids. I'm a middle child. I had no guidance. I got to do what I wanted to do. I was an unruly child. I was worse than 15 baby kids in a classroom without their medication. Plus, I had a learning disability. I was in special ed from all the way from first grade all the way to sixth grade. I was a behavior problem. I was the teacher's worst nightmare. I started abusing alcohol at 12 years old to self-medicate myself. I have a PhD in being abused physically, psychologically, sexually. I was molested so many times. I just, you know, those days I didn't talk about it. I just suppressed those feelings. But I really didn't want to be a product of my environment. I did a lot of journal writing at a very young age. And I was so terrible in school, they didn't think I was going to make it out of junior high school, let alone high school. But I got a therapist. I got assigned a therapist and junior high school in the community, and she began to work with me. She really began to help me deal with the anger, because I was so violent. I could have killed someone. I could see how kids killed people because I was that violent, disrespectful, depressed, suffered from mental illness, all those things I had. But she started to work with me. But as she started to work with me, my mother didn't participate in any counseling session, maybe two, and she was done. You know, she just said, I was a menace to society, kicked me to the curb. But, and then I kept running away. I got into 10th grade, and I made a conscious decision. If I really, really want to change my life, it was very hard to make this decision. I had to divorce my mother at a young age at 14. My social worker left me on the street for 28 days. She said, I'm not putting you in any more homes. And I, you know, I didn't have nowhere to go but on the streets. But I turned myself into the police station, and I just voluntarily placed myself at East Lake Juvenile Hall, went to the court procedure, and I got out probably in about 3 months from juvenile hall, and I was a ward of the court. They deemed me incorrigible. I was begging for help. But I got into the Jacqueline Girls Home, and all my life started to change. My mom, I mean, I said, she's working for the Lord to get me together. Because when I came to her, I was in the 10th grade, the second semester, and I had got kicked. I mean, I was only in the home for about 2 or 3 months, maybe less than that. I got kicked out of Los Angeles High School, had to go to continuation school, because there I go, throwing a pencil at a teacher, at a substitute teacher. They kicked me out of Los Angeles High School, but my mom made an agreement, had a conference, and if I'd be good for the rest of the semester this summer, they would accept me back in Los Angeles High School. I went back there and still was sitting in the back of the class, being a class clown. I learned my lesson. I sit in the front. I graduated with honors. Now, that was a miracle, me graduating with high school with honors. I have a Silver Star on my diploma, and I went on to Cal State Long Beach and got my undergrad in psychology. And then I got me a job. Just a year before I graduated, I got a job working. I mean, I got an internship working for the Youth Authority. And I stayed there for about 3 years, about close to 3 years before I got hired back in 81. And my life started to go uphill. But I wrote down my goals at 16 years old. I wrote them down. My goal was to become a probation officer or work in public service. I didn't know my goal at that time would become my purpose in life. I had no clue, but that became my purpose in life. Only thing different I did, I became a parole officer, and I did work in public service. Later, I went on back to college and got my master's in social work, specialization mental health. And that's why I didn't want any kid or adult to suffer what I had to go through. I suffered as a kid and as an adult because I had some adult issues. You know, working in law enforcement, and when you're a whistleblower, you're going to pay the price for being a whistleblower. And me having a straight talk program, no, I'm helping people because I had one foot in prison and one foot out. I could have been in prison, but somebody helped me. Those two community ladies, my guardian angel, my therapist, and my mom, Maxine McGinnis, if they hadn't helped me, I wouldn't be on the phone today. I'd probably be dead on drugs, mental health, or in prison or somewhere. That's where I was going. That's where I was headed at, and I saw my family, and they're still sitting on that same milk cart today, and I'm 61 years old. But in Straight Talk, I have a mentorship program. My whole program is based on nothing but faith. That's all I had growing up was faith, believing in myself. You know, the two guardian angels came to me and rescued me out of my madness. They had faith in me. They believed in me. My therapist made a recommendation to the court. Phyllis needs to be in a loving, nurturing home. She's going to do some testing, but she's very smart and intelligent. So I had somebody for once in my life believed in me, and that's what my mentorship program does. I have faith in these people. I mean, I've dealt with the most serious, violent offenders that people say they'll never make it. Yes, they will, because all they need is somebody to tell them, you're just as special. You're special. You're bright. You're intelligent. If you believe it, you can achieve it. You can't have any hidden agendas if you want to climb up that mountain. And I do advocacy work and Straight Talk. I advocate for people, whether it be in the court system, because sometimes when you get in the court system, you don't know the language that they talk in, and when you're headed in trouble. And I go out to the high schools, all the way to elementary, to college. I do workshop seminars. I do a lot of media. I'm in the media a whole lot recently. I stay in the media in and out. but I have a desire. This is my passion to help people. And it's a proven factor. Straight Talk, through the Straight Talk program, all I do is put the faith, I call it crazy faith, on the people that I come to help and serve.
Thank you. Can you now share with us what your workshop is going to be about for the upcoming conference that's at February 24th through
27th
for 2020?
Yeah, mine is going to be on the 27th, that Thursday, and the title, the top, is going to be The Impacts of Faith in a Proven Mentoring Program. And what I want to do, I want to tell the people, give them some skills how to deal with people that come from hurt backgrounds or just difficult people. You got to have faith in these people. You got to believe in them. You got to give them hope. You know, you got to teach them how to forgive people. You know, you can't keep holding on the past and trying to be the poor victim. You know, what was dealt with you in the past is the past. We have to look for what's ahead of us. And so that's what I'm going to be telling the people that come to my workshop. Because this is the proven fact. It works. You know, you believe in these people and you tell them that they're smart and all that. Because if you feed them negative, they're going to get negative. If you feed them positive words, they'll get positive. Like my biological mother, she said, I was a loser from day one. As long as I was under her roof, those are the type of behavior that I exhibit. When I got in the girls' home, after going to some challenges in there, you know, I got in some trouble. But she, my mom, Maxine McGinnis, used to always tell me, you know, positive words. She just fed me a lot of positive words. So we got to replace that negativity that these people, whether they be adult, our kids that you're working with, we got to feed them with positive work. And one word is faith. Having faith in yourself. You can do it. So that's what my workshop is going to be about. Different ways that we can apply faith. You know, hope, forgiveness, being humble, respecting one another. You know, these all come under, you know, the characteristic of building somebody's self-esteem up, their moral character up, you know. So it's all based on faith. If you have faith, you can do anything. You know?
That's true. You can. You can do
things. Yeah, I have been through a lot, even as a kid and as an adult. And all I have to do is have faith. That adversity, you turn that adversity into something positive. Because to go through the valley and come out of there, you know, nobody bring you out of there but in my life, but God. You know? And having faith. Don't give up. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For anyone joining us, this is American Health Crisis through Blog Talk Radio. We're featuring Fathers and Family Coalition of America because they have great speakers coming up in February. It's their 21st conference that's held in Los Angeles at the Los Angeles Hilton. And you just heard one of the great speakers that's putting on one of the many workshops that will be presented on between February 24th through 27th. If you have a question you want to ask the speaker, you're welcome to just join in. You would have called 858-769-4936, and if you press 1, you can be heard on the air. And remember, you're not just heard here in California, but you will be heard all over the world. Anyone have questions for our great speaker?
Yes.
Go ahead.
I have a question. This is Debbie Dorsell.
Say your name. Go ahead.
Debbie Dorsell. I am a formerly incarcerated person, and God has blessed me to now I have grown past all of that behavior. A lot of it had to do with my associations with the wrong kind of people. People become like the people that they associate with. I think that's a very important point. I am an artist. I'm a writer. And I've been affiliated with the Straight Talk program since 1999. And Phyllis McNeil is one of the greatest inspirational people I know, because what she's done is that she takes adversity and turns it into success. She teaches a person things about themselves that they don't even know. And one thing she helped me with is they would threatening me to take me to violate me and send me back to do another term. And she stepped in and made it possible, or shall I say, fought for me. And I think that's really what the point is. If you have somebody fighting for you who believes in you, who has faith in your cause, you have a greater chance of achieving your goals or your dreams. My dream is always to be what I am now. I'm an artist. I'm a writer. I'm a poet. And I love life. And I love teaching children art. And one thing I've... It's really... Hello?
We can hear you.
Hello?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Yeah, I think
you.
It's
Go
an
ahead.
Important purpose for us to get together and into a coalition and we do the right things, because all the knowledge you can get in the world is worth nothing if you don't know how to apply it. That's where colleges are losing. You know, they teach people how to do things, but they don't teach you how to apply it. And this is the problem that most people have. I've had 8 years of college, but not as an artist. I started out thinking that, I think I want to be an actress. Well, I did that for a while. And throughout the years that I've learned, I'm now 62 years old, and I've reached the age of accountability, I call it. And at the age of accountability, you have to take responsibility for your choices, not let other people define you. You have to define for yourself what you want to be. When I was incarcerated, if it wasn't for somebody like Phyllis McNeil, I probably would have lost hope and thought I would have had to do this thing all over again. And they would try to violate me, but she didn't even know me. And she stepped up for me. And as a result, I remained free. And here I am. 20 years later, and I've done many things, and I love the Lord, and I love the fact that we all have an opportunity right now to do something important. Teach people how to do what their soul tells them they were made to do. Give them some incentive, give them some encouragement to go for their dream, because nothing can stop you once you have that passion. You become like a locomotive, unstoppable. And that's what I wanted to say.
That's what Straight Talk does. It's all about that unstoppable faith. Unstoppable.
That's right. The unstoppable faith. And if you have a little bit of it, all you need is a mustard seed worth to get the rest of it going. But you need the momentum. And the momentum comes from those people who stand and help you, hold you up, that believe in your dream. And as a matter of fact, now I'm living my dream. I've just finished my first book. It's a combination of both my poetry and my artwork. And I'm very excited about it. And it's going through the copyright process. But, you know, it's just a testament that no matter what you go through in life, if you never quit until you achieve your goal, and that is ongoing all your life, that's how you win. People that quit, they'd never achieve their goal.
Okay, Phyllis, give us some insight into you mentor people like Debbie.
Well, I have people that are formerly incarcerated on the mentorship program. I have people that never got in any type of trouble, but people hear about what my results are, my success rate, and parents contact me, adults contact me, because it's all based on the little light that shines in me. And I tell them, hey, it's all about having that crazy faith, unstoppable. I do that. I mentor adults. I mentor kids, because if the kids don't get their problem fixed as an adult, it goes right into an adulthood. And sometimes I have to restructure the whole family, because some of these parents are out to lunch here, and I'm not afraid to let them know that you asking for A and B students, A and B kids, I'm looking for some A and B parents, you know? And so I do a whole lot with Straight Talk. When I say public service, you know, you got to be careful what you write down as a child in your dreaming, because they become true. I do a lot of public service. Yeah, mentoring, advocacy,
okay,
mediation.
Go ahead.
Yes.
I was going to say, like for your program that you wrote, where is it being used?
It's being used in the elementary school all the way to high schools. I come and talk to kids. I talk to kids that have developmental issues. You know, they're no different from the regular kids. I talk to at-risk kids. I talk to kids in private schools. I do workshops, seminars. I'm in a lot of media, live talk radio now. You go to my website, you'll see a lot of radio shows I've been on and stuff like that, and cable shows and stuff like that. I talk on all different subjects. I've been through it. When I said I've been through it as a kid and as an adult, I could talk on all different subjects. Oh, I forgot to tell you my background. Oh, you know I'm a parole agent. I retired in 2009. Yeah. It'd be 10 years next month. So I went up the ranks. I sure did. Mm-hmm.
That is great. Wow. You've done a lot. So we can see that the conference, those that are coming to the Fathers and Family Coalition of America conference is going to really, they're going to benefit a lot.
I have a little kid. My first mentee is Marissa. Marissa, I don't know if Marissa Jones is on the line, but I taught her how to fight. So I teach people. I'm a black belt, fifth degree, and her mother watched me on the circuit, and I taught her, hey, you can be a champion. You want to be a champion? I have faith in you. Well, she was 11 years old when I got her. She's about 41 years old. Well, she was kicking me around the ring. I said, hold the punch. You hold the power, but, you know, I just tell kids, you can do anything you want. Okay, here's the plan. Let's work out a plan and a strategy. I do that with adults. Let's sit down and work out a plan. You know, how are we going to get here? You want to become – I have one kid that wanted to get her MSW, social work. Yes, she got her social work, but she graduated the fifth person. I mean, she was in the top five in her class with distinction honors from Chico University. We sat down and talked about getting a master's and whatnot. And every time she got a report card, straight A's. So I sit down with my people that I deal with, and I get to know the family. This is my program, Straight Talk, it's a family program. I want to know where you come from so I can understand where you are in your environment. I meet the people where they're at, not where I think they should be at. I work where they're at, and I work on their strength. I don't focus on the weakness, because if you focus on the strength, the weakness will balance. It will come together. Mm-hmm. Yep. I believe that, and that's a proven factor in Straight Talk. Mm-hmm.
The person's name, can you say that name again so we can see if she's on the line?
Is Marissa Jones on the line from Sacramento? Okay, I guess she's not. I've been mentioning her. She's 41 now. And her oldest daughter, it's her first year in law school. The stuff I taught my little first mentee, Marissa, she has three kids, and she teaches the same thing. She got a young daughter in law school. Her first, she's in Texas, one of her oldest daughter. She has three kids, and one's going to be graduating from high school, and one is about 6, and one is about 22. The same thing I taught her, she teaches her kids, and it works. Have faith in your kid. Learn to talk with them, you know. Have a dialogue with them. Check on them. See how they're feeling. That's all about it. That's all in the nutshell of building a good, strong faith foundation for the people that I work for, what the people that I have mentored. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Quite a bit.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yes.
This is Debbie. This is Lynn. Hi.
Hi. Can you say your
hello?
Name? Yes.
Oh, no. I was just talking. You're looking for the other person. I thought you said my name. This is Debbie Williams. Debbie Dorsell.
Is Donna on the line?
I'm the one on this line. I don't know who's on the other line.
Well, I don't know who's on the line.
My name is Linda Coleman Willis. I'm on the line. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Oh, okay. I host a cable, Spectrum cable show called The Millennial Journal. Phyllis?
Yeah.
Yes.
You have a question for Phyllis?
Okay. Yes, and Phyllis and I work together. She's really great at bringing young people to that show and bringing their stories to life. So what we've been doing is bringing millennial stories to the public, actually, and bridging that communication gap between millennials and boomers and Gen X. And so we feel like we're opening the lines of communication, which is something that's not happening in schools or in churches or even in homes. So I'm really grateful to Phyllis for some of the guests that she's brought to the show. And what I want to say about her is my thought is the challenge to end well, because in a race, it doesn't matter how you begin. What's most important is how you end and as you finish. And this same principle is also true to a large degree in the spiritual realm. So that's why the writers of Hebrews reminds us, lay aside every encumbrance that hinders us in the race set before us. A believer's lifetime is not a sprint, but a marathon walk with Christ, and our goal should be the same as Paul's, to fight the good fight, to finish the course, and keep the faith. And I think that's what Phyllis represents more than anything else, is she's taking these young people's lives, and she's teaching them to fight the good fight, to finish the course, and most of all, to keep the faith. And so, Phyllis, I'm really proud and delighted that I got a chance to meet you, to know you, and I want to continue to support you, and I appreciate all the support that you have given us through that Millennial Journal, because we're going to have a young lady even tomorrow evening who's going to talk about her life of abuse. So it's amazing the kinds of things that the people that Phyllis is touching and the kinds of topics she's putting out there, and the venues she's opening up for these young people to express themselves. So I thank you, and I'm so proud to be part of whatever you're doing.
Thank you, Linda, and thank you, James, for your comments. You know, it's all about, like I said, these two ladies, I call them my guardian angels. If they hadn't helped me, they were community workers, I wouldn't be here right now. I am so grateful. I'll never forget where I came from. I'm so grateful, so humble, because I look at my biological family today. They're still in that same position I left them when I was 14, and I'm 61. You turn it around, I'm really 16 again, pre-16. But I'm saying I got a lot of humor. You know, we got to have a lot of laughter in our life, too. And I do a lot of transparent. I tell people where I came. I'm not ashamed of where I came from, because I said, just as where I came from, look where you can go. You know, you just have to let it go and fight a good fight. Unstoppable faith. Unstoppable dreams. Never stop dreaming. Never stop believing.
We're listening to the speaker that will be featured in the upcoming Fathers and Family Coalition of America conference. There are other great speakers that are going to be there, too. The last time we had Barbara Colarosa was on. She's an international best-selling author for the past 44 years, an international speaker and consultant on parenting and teaching. She's the author of a book called Kids Are Worth It. She's also a five-time international bestseller. She is an educational consultant for school districts, for medical and businesses, community. She will be at this upcoming great conference. She's one of the many, along with Phyllis, be there. You also have another guy. He's on our show, and his name was Dr. Jan Van Epp. He's a counselor, psychologist. He has trained and certified more than 10,000 instructors from 50 states and 10 countries. And he's also taught programs that he have developed. He has authored various books that's been on the best-selling list, and that's Jan Epp. He will also be at the upcoming conference this coming February 24th through the 27th for 2020. So if you haven't registered, you may want to register for this. There's still space left to be a part of or to come to the conference to hear these great speakers, because they'll all be there. They're great mentors. They've achieved a lot in their lifetime, and they're going to achieve a lot more. So everyone's welcome to come to sign up.
And I'm also an affiliated member. I'm one of the affiliates for Fathers and Families Coalition of America. And I'm telling you, if you get an opportunity to go to the conference, oh, you got, I mean, anybody, providers out there, social workers, you know, anybody, kids, adults, their parents, that's a conference you don't want to miss. You do not want to miss. You're talking about a wealth of knowledge and power you. Oh, my God. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You get a lot for your money for going to that conference.
Just joining us, this is Fathers Family Coalition of America, and we're featured at least Tuesday of every month. We'll probably add some more days. We're going to be featuring some of the great speakers that are going to be a part of this that is needed. There are out there that are listening. You're looking to develop a program. The programs are already developed. Come out. See what's already there. Have to reinvent it, so to speak. So if you want to be a part of it or you want to get some credits, educational credits, all sorts are a part of this conference. It's a good time. February the 8th, 20. I mean, not February 8th. February 24th through the 27th. I'm thinking about something else. 2020. They also have Selena Lindsay on the line. She normally knows about different nonprofits and some of the things that they are doing. So I give her opportunity to allow people to hear that, and, you know, for networking purpose, or you may want to let other people know about those services. Selena, are you still on the line?
Yes, I am.
Okay, can you go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the first ones we want to talk about is one of the things that we both do. I'm one of the directors over there, and, of course, Paulette is there doing her healthcare consultant, and that is Sowing Seeds for Life. Sowing Seeds for Life is the second largest food bank in Los Angeles, or rather in the state of California, and we're located at 1350 Arrow Highway. Primarily what we do there is a lot more than food, some of everything, for the indigent and people that cannot afford to help themselves. Number one thing we do there is everything is absolutely free. All you have to do is go up and sign up and register, and you'll be able to receive whatever it is that we have, everything from shoes, clothing, for the entire family, food. We advocate on our blackboard, it says, bring a wagon, because that's what we try to do. Again, Sowing Seeds for Life at 1350 Arrow Highway. If you'd like to donate or you would like to come and be a volunteer, please contact Fran at area code 909-293-7735, extension 232. The next organization.
The next thing, since you mentioned Sowing Seeds, what I want to share with all of you is that Sowing Seeds for Life, which is the second largest food bank in L.A. County, we're one of the first large organizations to allow me to share the various health issues. They were on the first to allow me to say anything I wanted about HIV, AIDS, that's plaguing our own country here in the United States. And I want to tell you, I've been talking about HIV and AIDS probably for the last 30 years. As I learned about some of the problems, I would share with the public. And one of the biggest problems that I learned was the testing procedure, which is in error globally, and no one was talking. I managed to write a resolution for the national NAACP. First, it had to pass, and talking about the testing procedure, because you have two tests, an antibody test and the real deal, the genetic test, which is normally not given first. Normally it's done the other way. But anyway, I don't want to say go into too many details. But what's happened is it did pass what I wrote about the testing procedure, the importance of taking both antibody test and the genetic test, which is the ribonucleic acid test at the same time, so a person can know their HIV status within 11 to 15 days. I first presented it to California, and in California it had passed. California and Hawaii had passed it. Then it moved on to national, and then you had hundreds of delegates from all over the United States and international voted on it, and it passed. And then this past October the 19th, 2019, October the 19th, 2019, the National Board of the NACP signed it into policy and procedure for the national organization. So now this type of information will be given throughout the whole United States and on an international basis. That just took place, that should begin to make a difference, because 50% of all new cases is below age. Just need to say that. Go ahead, Selena.
Okay, moving right along. The next organization I'd like to talk about would be VeteranCareSolutions.org. Veteran Care Solutions is run by LaShonda Jones. Primarily what they do, what she does, is anything concerning a veteran. If you want to start up an organization that deals with veterans, this is the go-to person. In addition to that, she's currently running at least three or four, one which is located in Texas. They have 84 veterans in that. They just started a new one in Los Angeles County, which I believe had 70 of these individuals in there. You can reach LaShonda at area code 909-329-8288. The very next organization is called Enlightened Learning Club. They're located at 10570 East Foothill Boulevard in Rancho Cucamonga. They primarily focus on getting students to pass the SAT test and, believe it or not, the thinking program. Their phone number is area code 909-930-8889. Again, the Enlightened Learning Club at area code 909-980-8889.
Oh, and
the next
organization. Phyllis, I don't believe you gave your Straight Talk information, how they can get a hold of you, or your website information. Can you go ahead and do that?
Yes, the number to call for Straight Talk, 951-272-5747. 951-272-5747. The website is StraightTalkHeals, StraightTalkHeals.org. StraightTalkHeals, StraightTalkHeals.org. This is the website. You will be impressed.
All right. Go ahead.
Okay. Moving right along. The next organization we'd like to talk about would be called Community Assistance. They're located at 24594 Sunnymead Boulevard. They're open from 10 to 1 p.m. They're in Moreno Valley. And for those that may need assistance, you can get assistance with your light bill, your gas bill, your water. And they also do a little bit of Christmas.
You said they're open from what time to what?
From 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. And please contact Jerry. Please contact Jerry at mbcap.org. Again, contact Jerry at mbcap.org. The next organization is located in Fontana. It's called the Fontana Community Association. They do a bunch of things in trying to get adults and kids skills and access to opportunities. They're located at 16779 Spring Street in Fontana, California. The phone number there is 909-803-1059. The next little thing I'd like to talk about is a place for those that may have some problems or whatever the problems, these people can figure out how to get you a computer or something so that you can get onto the website, you can do what you need to do, because one of the things that we have to do is we have to have access to data. Data is what turns the world these days. The name of this place is called computerannex.com. Please go to that website, or you can call 909-933-357. They have it all. You name it. They have a Sony, a Dell, a Toshiba, an Apple, an HP, an Acer, a Samsung, whatever it is you're looking for, they have it and more. And they have many, many different financing programs for you. They're located at 115 North Mountain Avenue in Ontario. And if you can't get to Mountain, just go to the website. You can order what you want. They have many applications there. Please call again, 909-933-3577, and you can ask to speak to Demi, D-E-M-I. The next one on my list is called Right on Time Youth and Family Services. They are located at 3115 North Gary in Pomona. What they attempt to do is they work with the youth. Their phone number is 909-223-8535, and the CEO there is Linda Wright. And the last and the least organization we want to give a little shout out to is Kathy Braxton. I love this one because it has a crazy name, which is Sick and Tired of Being Sick and Tired. They do food, they do ministry, they do a lot of different types of programs. They are usually at a church called Church of Fire. They're located usually on Saturday at 290 East D Street in Colton, California. And they do something really neat. They do hot dogs, hamburgers, and they'll give it to anybody. If you're out there and you're hungry or you just want to hang around and find out what these guys are doing, or if you need some food or whatever it is they have. These are some great folks, Kathy Braxton and her husband, Mr. Braxton. Please give them a shout at 562-313-0041. Every time I do this thing, one of the things that I also do is I also voice my own little silly opinion, which kind of goes like this. I choose to speak out because silence is consent. I am a self-proclaimed change agent. Yes, I'm agitated. I choose to be provocative. Speaking out raises tough issues. Sometimes it makes other people uncomfortable. Moreover, making some people uncomfortable is who I choose to be. I take risks and I use my faith. I tell my stories and experiences. I share my weaknesses and mistakes. I have a basic belief in all, a belief that is to help others that can't help themselves. I am Selena A. Lindsay. We're going to swing it back your way, Paulette, and you can close out.
Okay, we'll have some more shows where we're featuring Fathers and Family Coalition of America. We do, I always have a topic that I talk about the first Monday of every month. So if you want to join in, you would call the same number. You're welcome to be a part of that particular broadcast also. For the fathers and family, what we're doing is we're giving them the various Tuesdays of the month. Share some of the things that they're doing at the conference. And on the show, call in that same number, 858-7-4936, if you want to talk to hear you. So good night for next time. We are scheduling so far December the 10th, which is a Tuesday, and we'll be featuring the speakers that are going to be a part of, or the ones that are doing the workshops that's going to be a part of upcoming 21st conference. fathers and families. I'm sorry.